Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman after the Gus Bradley radio show. It's Lions week, preseason week three, the dress rehearsal game coming up tomorrow night here at Everbank Field, an 8 o'clock kickoff, CBS nationally televised game. Kevin Harlan and Dan Fouts will have the call of the game tomorrow night. And of course, here, right here starting at 5 o'clock
with I know that,
the Publix tailgate show.
You talked with Dan Fouts, right? It's going to be a little bit on the pregame.
Went over there today.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, it was very nice.
And I don't know if you spent much time with him or not, but he's one of my favorites.
You'll hear that in Countdown to Kickoff tomorrow night on the Jaguars Radio Network after 7 o'clock. So visit with Dan Fouts. He has some interesting thoughts about the quarterback and how his progression has gone.
He ought to know.
Compared it to his a little bit, so that was interesting to hear.
Boy, if you think about some of the weapons that he had back in his day, I mean, you're talking Hall of Fame, you know, offense, Air Coryell, and some of the things that they were doing in San Diego with Dan Fouts at quarterback, I mean, were really groundbreaking when it came to the NFL.
Maybe it'll be the same way here, right, at the end of Blake's career. How about that? That'd be nice to talk about.
Well, you
hold on. Yeah. Maybe that'd be nice, right?
Maybe that's
it'd be great if you can progress to that.
Right? How about let's just start with baby steps.
Tap the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, let's go baby steps.
Okay. Well, let's start with tomorrow night then. That's a baby step enough going into the third preseason game. What do you get out of this? You go into the Gus wants to go get the starters coming out of halftime, get them into the flow in the third quarter, coming out of the locker room. And then get them the heck out of there. That's pretty much the goal.
I think the biggest thing that I always look for in a third preseason game was just getting – it wasn't so much performance. You wanted to play well as a veteran guy, but the conditioning and getting used to playing like you're going to play in the regular season and then coming out at halftime and then continuing to play more, it's a conditioning thing. Because, I mean, it's hard to condition for a game through practice and the preseason. And really the only way you get there – is by playing games. And this is the step in that direction.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you want to play well. And it's the most game-like situation because you've game-planned a little bit for the first time. So you've watched the guy you're going to play. You know, you kind of have an idea of what they want to do. You spent more time. You're probably a little bit fresher because practice is a little bit easier because you're working against cards instead of going full speed against each other. So yeah, I think it's a good test. It's a good opportunity. It's just, but more than anything, it's one more building block until what you're really trying to get ready for, and that's opening week.
The best part about this game is a couple things. One is the quality of the opponent. Detroit Lions have a good football team. They have a good quarterback. We're not going to see all of the offensive weapons. Obviously, Calvin Johnson will not play. But they have some good pieces, and it's a good test against a quarterback, one of the top defenses in the National Football League last year. It's a national broadcast game, I think, which heightens the environment a little bit. I mean, if there was ever a great step for a football team like the Jaguars, this is you couldn't have written it any better.
Jeff, you think a national televised preseason games mean anything?
Absolutely.
Okay.
For younger players, it absolutely does.
For you, when you were a veteran, did the national televised preseason game mean anything?
Yes.
Oh, come on. You're such a liar.
No, they did.
I mean, Jeff, I remember what you were like. Were looking for the preseason and looking to be out of there as soon as possible.
I was counting plays.
I mean, but you're like, oh, national television preseason. Woohoo! I can't wait. Let's go. Let's go get them, guys.
No,
give me a break.
I was counting plays, but at the same time, when you're a young player,
I asked you.
All your friends, what?
Oh, your friends.
At different stages when you have
your peers
watching you.
Don't watch me. I'm trying to get out of here.
When you have your peers watching you, you always want to do well.
Yeah, because
and that's a fact.
You just want to show
now, maybe,
off.
Maybe you didn't give two hoots about how you played.
No, I always
in a national
I always played
game.
Hard. I played hard every game. Well, I was different
in a national TV game. I played, didn't add any extra spice to it for you.
I played hard, whether it was national television or for.
Yeah, but you were aware of it.
No.
Absolutely you were. Get out of here.
You played on national TV every week at USC.
The only good games you ever played were on national TV.
Yeah, I dialed it up because I knew people would be voting.
That's what it was.
But it's good. I mean, it sets up perfectly for this team. I mean, in the growth process to have, you know, two games, and then the third be at home, and it's national TV. And look, it does heighten the awareness for some players on the team, especially a young team.
Young guys.
This is a young team.
But I guess my point is this. I don't think Blake Bortles cares one bit if it's on national television or not tomorrow night. That's my guess. What I'm excited about to see if Blake can continue to get building blocks and that, you know, building up the foundation of what he's trying to become and what he's trying to do. You know, JP has him already as a Hall of Famer with down fouls.
Whoa.
I think he's excited. I'm excited to see that. And what this team needs to do, I think it's differently offensively and defensively. Offensively, they need to build on what they've done so far. They need to get T.J. Yeldon some reps out there to get him comfortable in game situations and to build the confidence of how they're protecting, how they're run blocking, what Blake's doing in the pocket, the passing game, and just everything's building towards that first game. I think it's nice that it's a good opponent. I think it'll be a good test for that. You know, a lot of guys on both sides of the ball. But more than that, it's all about one thing right now. One thing only, and that's opening day. And everything you're doing as a player, as a staff, as a organization is to get ready for opening day. And that this just is one more building block to that point. And whether it's on national television or streaming over the internet, I don't think it matters.
Oh, it matters. It matters.
And you're a liar.
No, it matters.
You're lying if you're telling you it matters to you. Because I know it didn't.
It didn't matter to me when I got to you. Which
okay,
was
see,
year seven.
He finally just said it didn't matter. So I got him to tell
but
the truth.
But in years two, three, and four.
Well, I wasn't with you then. You were in New York. You were in New York.
It makes a difference. You know, it makes a difference. Hmm. Well, the more eyes that are on you, I mean, I think the natural reaction as a competitor is you want to do better.
I'll be honest with you. For me, I mean, I'm all kidding aside, I was always anxious and nervous for every game. Because that means I knew I was ready to play. It's one of the reasons I did not like the preseason as much. And whether we played on Monday Night Football or the playoffs or a Sunday at 1 o'clock, I don't think I was any less nervous or more nervous in the good nerves, like where your butterflies are going, mm-hmm. you're getting ready to play.
Oh, you always have
it. But I don't think it was heightened any more for me because it was like my mindset was no matter what I do and now no matter how many people are watching, everyone watches the tape. In the NFL, everyone who matters watches that tape.
Mm-hmm.
Your coach, your opponent, your peers, anyone who matters watches that tape. So I didn't care when I was playing, and so the national television never got me less or more.
It doesn't. It doesn't drive you, but it.
No,
but
yeah,
it
I know you're saying, but for some players,
it adds to the flavor.
Well, because I remember on Monday night, the first Monday night time we ever played here, Monday night, I think it was the Pittsburgh Steelers,
mm-hmm.
and it was hyped. That locker was hyped. And not that I wasn't excited, but I was just as excited, I think, as I was for any other game, I guess, is what I'm saying. So everyone's different, to Jeff's point. But this is just another opportunity for this team to build on what they've done so far and in different ways. Offensively, a lot of positive things. I think defensively, and I think Gus alluded to it when I was sitting here listening to you, Jeff, and I think you asked some great questions. And, you know, really focus on that rush. I think that pass rush is critical.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen it yet.
No. That's yeah, you know, and he got kind of specific about the Leo spot.
Yeah, I mean,
Which is what, you know, which is true.
What the Leo's supposed to do, right?
He kind of said, you know, Roy and Tyson and, you know, Aldrick, they're doing a good job, run stoppers, and they'll give us some pass rush. But that Leo, we need to see more. I mean, he was pretty specific.
Andre Branch hasn't done much yet.
No. It's a big year for Andre, too.
Well, I mean, it's a contract year. You know, he's kind of in that starting role. You know, Chris Clemons is going to go to probably a situational pass rusher.
You don't think Chris Clemons, by week four or five, is starting with Leo once he gets in shape?
I think that –
game shape?
I think that
– unless Andre does something.
In a perfect world, I think that they would like Andre Branch to take the next step.
Yeah, but have you seen it yet?
A guy in his 12th year to kind of – go into that role of he's a situational pass rusher.
But have you seen it yet?
No, I have not. And that's an issue. I wish that we were watching Dante Fowler right now.
I think all of us do.
I mean, it's just kind of – that's why they drafted him, you know, and unfortunately we're not going to see him until next year. But, you know, it's a they definitely have to have more production out of that Leo, but at the same token, they need to have more production out of their nickel group, which is everybody. They got to have more rush.
And that's partly why Scooter's getting some rush time too over
there. Yeah, and look, I know a lot of people –
because it's hard to go that deep. You have Chris Smith and Ryan Davis, and that's a lot of guys who don't have a lot of time in the league.
I want to see Dan Scuda have some success when he's called upon to do that. But when he signed a contract to come here, I wasn't expecting him to be, okay, now we've got another outside great pass rusher. It's not what he is.
He's right, yeah.
You know, he's a guy that can give you some reps, but that's not how he's going to get paid. That's not his thing. You know, he's a linebacker that gets the most out of his abilities and can do a little bit of everything pretty good, but he's not a great pass rusher. You know, I mean, you got 45 sacks last year, and I think what Tony and I both want to see is show me the signs that are going to tell me that can happen again this year. Now, 45 is a big number.
16 haven't been on the field yet, though.
Who?
16 of those sacks haven't stepped on the field.
No, that's
yet.
Right.
That's right. Clemens and Sendero.
That's right. And then those two guys, Senderek for the most part, was the guy that created more sacks for other people than anybody else.
How many more did he create after those eight?
I mean, there's no tell. I mean, I would love to go back and maybe do this at one point, to go back and look at Andre Branch's sacks last year, which, look, I'm not being critical of Andre Branch. I think there's a role for him that he's very good at. Yeah. Great effort player. He's got speed. But he's not a creator for others in pass rush. Senderek is a creator for others in pass rush. In other words, making it easier on the other guys because the quarterback is not on his spot. He's moving or whatever.
He's a better pass rusher.
Yeah, he is.
Forget about creator.
But I would love to go back to see what, you know, how many sacks that Andre Branch had that weren't created by someone else.
Where'd this creator? I've never heard of this creator.
Yeah, this is new.
This is new. I mean, how about just get a sack? Let me just go.
Well, I'm all for that, but there are guys that make it happen on their own.
Oh, I agree.
And there are guys that need help to make it happen.
But right now, we need guys who can just make it happen.
That's what I'm talking about. And
16 of those.
That's 99. That's 91. And then hopefully in the future, 56 will be making that happen. We'll see.
We got a year to wait for that. We don't have time to worry about that right now.
I know,
now.
But it's just
we'll also
kind of,
hear
kind
from
of a bummer.
Speaking of hearing from guys tomorrow night, we'll also hear from Todd Wash, Jaguars defensive line coach.
Oh, isn't that kind of fitting?
That is very fitting. So that's called a tease for tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Heck of a tease, JP.
5 o'clock on the Public's Tailgate Show, Todd Wash to talk about defensive line. What do you think of Odrick moving on the inside a little bit? How did that work last week?
He didn't move. He just moved on
sub. Passing. Yeah,
well, that's what he's always going to do.
Yeah. But how did he look in that role?
Okay.
Yeah. Jeff's going to owe me dinner at this rate.
Oh, no. It's way too early to make predictions on that.
Okay.
I thought overall, Jared, he had one real bad play, and he even said it.
Oh, he knew it right after the game.
Right after the game. And other than that, I thought he was solid. And it was his first game out there. Solid. And as a veteran – yeah, he's
getting, fine.
It's fine. I mean, I think he's going to be a very – listen, I think what he's going to do is why they signed him, he's going to be that strong end, that head-up tackle, or defensive end on the offensive tackle is a four technique. He's going to be a great two-gapper. He's going to shove that guy in the backfield and make it very difficult to run the ball.
But let me ask you this. If Senderek is not back, who's your best three?
When
I say three, I'm talking defensive tackle, three technique.
But I think to Gus's point – Jared Odrick has the perfect body type and is the perfect four technique for this defense with how they want to run it. And Tyson's body type and size, and I think he has more movement, is it better at the three technique? I think
it's the opposite.
Oh, I disagree. Because I think at times a big offensive tackle can not have his way, but can get after Tyson, make it more difficult for Tyson because Tyson's not a long player. Odrick is a long player.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that big tackle a big offensive tackle, a big powerful guy like a Jeremy Parnell, makes it more difficult for Tyson to play that position.
See, I go the other way. I would have Odrick as a three and then Tyson at the strong side end because that's really where he flourished last year. I mean, that wouldn't you say that that was probably Tyson's best year as a pro last year?
He played well, yeah.
Yeah.
He did
and,
play well.
And that came at
which
the strong
is a,
side
which is
end.
A fair point. I just saw – I've seen what I've seen Tyson – and I know we got to go break. I'll be real quick. What I've seen Tyson do these first two preseason games at that three technique, I think he's played very well.
Yeah, he's played well.
And that's why I think he stays there.
The first game this season against the Carolina Panthers is dedicated to supporting Jacksonville's first responders. Buy a ticket to the season opener September 13th, and $5 of your ticket purchase will automatically be donated back to Jacksonville's first responders. Be a hero by supporting these tireless heroes. Get your tickets now at jaguars.com/groups. Good challenge for the offensive line this week against the Lions. We'll go in the trenches. O-line talk coming up. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Time to get back to football. Be here at Everbank Field for the regular season opener. The Jags welcome Cam Newton, his annoying smile, and the Carolina Panthers, September 13th at 1 o'clock. Incredible seats were just released, but we'll go fast. Get them now at jaguars.com/tickets.
That sounded very Alabama-esque, hating Auburn. Hey, I got a quick question. We're going to talk about the offensive line. Ndamukong Suh left, obviously. He went to Miami. Who was the other?
Fairley. You're talking Nick Fairley.
Nick Fairley. Where'd he go?
Didn't he get arrested again like last year or something was going on with him?
Remember when they had those two guys and they said it was going to revolutionize that defensive line and everything? Where did Nick Fairley go? I couldn't think of it.
We'll find it out.
Yeah, find out for me, JP.
He's a big boy, though. I know that.
You know, I can't remember. But I remember when they drafted, they went Ndamukong Suh, and the next year they went Nick Fairley. Remember, those two were going to be dominating for years to come, and it was much to do with nothing.
Yeah, I don't. I remember because I remember last year at about this time he was hurt. And there
St.
Was
Louis
of,
Rams.
Rams.
And there was a lot of conversation about whether or not that they would use the fifth-year option on Nick Fairley, but right. He really hadn't done anything,
right.
And then he got in
very
trouble.
Got in trouble, very average.
Had a problem with his weight coming into training camp and everything else, and so the Detroit Lions wisely decided not
let him go.
Not to make that happen.
So he's with the Rams. Right, Rams defense. If he's healthy, that Rams defense line's going to be good. I know we're not talking about them, but they'll be good.
This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Fanatics.com. Jaguars offensive line is set now. Wisniewski's the starting center. This group will have a chance to go into the third quarter tomorrow night against the Lions, and a good test against this group.
Well, just to kind of stay on Wisniewski for a little bit, yeah. Me and Tony both kind of favored Blank a little bit, but I don't know about you, Tony. I thought Wisniewski played a little bit better than Blank against the Giants, but I think that decision came down to trust, experience, and if this was a decision that was going to be made last year or the year before, they probably would have went with Blank.
I said this on Monday night with when JP and Pete and I were talking about this. If you look at the two games and I were to grade both centers in their entirety of looking at both games, I think Wisniewski played better. I thought he was very good against the Giants. I thought he played a really, really good game.
Played a strong game.
Going into the game, I thought Blanco had the lead, which I thought he did. And afterwards, watching the tape and just – sitting down and saying, okay, who played better? And if I was making that decision, who would I play at center for the immediate? Not talking about the future,
yeah.
But to win
but,
a game.
But that's a factor.
Right now.
Yeah.
And I said, I'd take Wisniewski.
But that's a factor. I mean, that's a factor in the decision. I mean, that's why I was saying that, you know, if this decision were made last year or the year before, when you're building to the future, you know, after you have 7 wins in 2 years, it's time now. It's time to win.
Oh, you think?
You know, so. Yeah. So I think the decisions are being made now, not looking next year and the year after that. Decisions are now being made, and that's the way it should be, that, hey, we need to put the absolute best, even if the difference is so small.
I was going to say that if Wisniewski's not around, they're very comfortable having Blanco as their center.
Absolutely.
And the sixth guy on the line right now. They're actually working him out at tackle a little bit on the practice field, not in a game, Gus said, but to try to make him truly the sixth guy on the line.
So what does that say about Blanco playing tackle, them trying to get work there.
Tells me they're concerned about Josh Wells. Right. You know, yeah. I mean, because, I mean, Josh Wells.
Dislocated.
If you want to talk about valuable backups, I mean, Josh Wells, and was talking about this with Mike Dempsey Tuesday, and that he might be the most valuable backup on offense that there is, because tackle's a premium position. You know, it. I mean, I'm not trying to overstate your position that you play, Tony, but the reality is, how many times can you find a guy that can play left tackle, right tackle, and if he's in the ball game, you feel good about it?
Well, we are fortunate. I mean, take me away. I mean, we had Leon Searcy on the right. I mean, literally our game plans going in, we're like, Leon, you block him. Tony, you block him, and we'll worry about the inside. I mean, that was our game plan. I mean, that was just – and, you know, you had – I mean, that's why it's such an important position. And Josh Wells, in my opinion, will be a starter in this league.
I agree.
He's that good. I'm not sure he's ready to be a starter yet, but he will be a starting left or right tackle in the NFL. I'm not saying it'll be here. It might be a situation like Jeremy Parnell. His fourth year, fifth year, he becomes a free agent, and someone pays him a bunch of money. I am that high on Josh Wells. And so it makes you scratch your head a little bit when they're trying to get Luke Boanko work at the tackle position.
Kind of a more you can do situation, though.
Yeah, I think maybe it might just be a more you can do. We might be reading into it. Might mean nothing.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I mean, would you really be worried about training Boanko at tackle, you know, knowing that you've got, you know, Wellesley, that's his nickname, he can play either side? No. You know, so, I mean, there's probably some concern about Josh Wells.
Sure.
You know, and that's natural. You know, but that's, you know, because who else can play left tackle? I mean, Sam Young did it in the game against the Giants, but he's not a natural left tackle, doesn't have natural left tackle feet. Austin Pasdor, no.
And you're not flipping Parnell over there. Are you?
You know, that goes back to a philosophy that, you
this
know,
is
a, Tony
this is
and
an
I,
emergency
here's my,
situation.
No, here's my, you want my – let me give you my philosophy about this.
Okay.
You don't ever take away a guy where you're really strong at a position and move him somewhere else where you become – weaker there and weaker at the position he's playing.
Which used to drive me crazy about Coughlin. When we had an injury on the offensive line, it would be like shuffling the deck. And I was going, why?
What are you doing?
I mean, we're kind of weakening two positions by trying to plug one guy in for a hurt guy. You know, it used to drive me crazy. You know, but, I mean, sometimes you have to do that. I can understand that. But if you can get away with it, you'd like to not have to do that.
Who's the greatest challenge on the Lions' defensive front now?
Anza.
Yeah, easy. Ezekiel Anza.
Hands down.
He's a good football player.
He's the guy that I remember 3 years ago we were having the debate of who the Jaguars should draft, whether it be – and we weren't expecting Luke Jokel to be available when the Jaguars picked. So we were thinking, okay, it's not Fisher. We didn't think highly of him. And I think we were both in agreement. Anza was the guy, assuming that Jokel was gone first to the Chiefs.
If Jokel would have gone one, I'd have picked Anza,
absolutely.
Too. I wouldn't have taken Fisher.
Mm-mm. Was Deion Jordan that was in that conversation?
No, I wouldn't have taken him either. I never thought he had any power.
Kind of light, played light, you know.
And he's had some issues.
But Anza's a guy that I don't even think he started playing football until very late.
So college, really.
Short area power. The things that he could do athletically that was just freakish as far as knee bend, bending the corners. You know, when you watch certain guys, the linebacker that was drafted by the Oakland Raiders last year.
Kid out of Buffalo.
What was his name?
Oh, Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack.
Yeah.
One of those guys that you just saw freakish athletic skills, and you were like watching him on film, you said, this guy's got it. And watching Anza, it was the same thing, and you just were so excited about how raw he was, and we kind of made the comparisons at that time, going back to Jason Pierre-Paul, who was relatively raw,
right,
playing at, South Florida. You know, so he's got talent. You know, his numbers didn't jump dramatically from 8 sacks his rookie year. He actually took a small step back to 7.5, but the guy's still a
all-around player,
premium player. And I know he had some shoulder injuries to deal with last year. but a premium player. And he's got size. He's got power. He likes to rush more on the left side, which Parnell would face. But he will see time on both tackles.
Yeah, he likes to go that open end. He's going to be that open end defensive end more times than
But when
than
they go to
third,
sub,
third down, he'll rush over Parnell. Guy. Yep.
Mentioning offensive line, remember the name Drew Nowak?
Yeah, he's compete now, for a starting job in Denver.
He's going to start in this third preseason game for Seattle.
Or Seattle, I mean.
As the starting center for the Seahawks. The guy who was here in 2012 as an offensive lineman, moved over and was on the IR for a year.
I remember when he came in here, yeah. He was a defensive lineman out of some dinky school. And when they they said, hey, look, we want to move you to offensive line. Yep. I remember having a conversation with him in the locker room, and I just said to him, I said, look, not to, you know, tear your house down, but them switching you to offense was the best thing that ever happened to you, because he had no chance of making the team or having a career in the NFL as a defensive tackle.
He wasn't playing defense.
None. And then they moved to an offensive line. His biggest problem was getting off his toes as an offensive lineman, which Tony could expand more on that, but it's an adjustment.
But good story if it comes through in Seattle. A good guy for sure. When you come to Everbank Field for the Lions-Jags game tomorrow night, remember the clear bag policy. The bag must be no larger than 12 by 6 by 12 inches. Gallon plastic freezer bags or clutch-style purses are also allowed. And the Jags and Daly's have teamed up to provide an NFL-approved clear plastic tote bag. It's available with a $5 charitable donation benefiting the Tony Baselli Foundation.
Buy a lot of them.
For more information, visit jaguars.com/allclear. We'll come back in a moment. Look at Shine On from last week between these two. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. This portion of Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by your Southern Ford dealers, J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman. Let's go to the phone lines, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, and say hello to Chris on the west side to talk pass rush. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. Yeah, there is a lot of concern in this town about the pass rush. You guys led the show with it. I mean, heck, Alfie Crow just wrote an article about how he could give as much as a second rounder to Seattle for Bruce Irvin. I think everybody just needs to take a deep breath.
What's Bruce Irvin done?
I'm more interested in the run defense, because I feel like if we can stop the run, we can scheme a pass rush. I think the coaching staff proved that last year. Now, everybody in this town is screaming that last year's sack total is due for regression. Well, I say, regression to what? Because I think an Audric and a Scuda against the run, a better offense, will help the rush, and I don't think last year's sack total is as unsustainable as everyone makes it out to be. What do you guys think?
Well, I think you bring up a great point about being better against the run to manufacture a pass rush. You look at the Detroit Lions stats, and I mentioned these in the Gus Bradley show. They were number one in the league last year as far as stopping the run, yards allowed. Not only were they number one, they were ninth all time in NFL history, allowing only 69.3 yards a game. Now, I'm not saying the Jaguars have the ability to reach that level at 69.3, but if you're good against the rush, you've got an opportunity. I don't care who your pass rushers are, but it gives you a better opportunity when you do rush the passer. So, you know, we'll see. I still go back to last year. There was not a dominant rusher, and I know this kind of is different than Tony's thoughts, than that there's not a dominant pass rusher, but it was a group effort. And I still think that they can get it done with a group effort, but part of that group is missing in Cindarek Marks, and for missing for how long, we don't know. But if you do stop the run, you've got a better chance.
Yeah, but Cindarek, he won one-on-one battles, Jeff. It wasn't group effort by Sen a lot. I mean, Sen could go beat the offensive guard by himself. Didn't have to twist. Didn't need a game. He could win one-on-one.
Well, so did Ryan Davis. Ryan Davis won one-on-ones.
Not as much as Sen. And Ryan Davis is – listen, I think Ryan Davis is a good football player. But he's a strictly a third-down nickel pass rusher. That's all. That's what he is. Which is another reason I wouldn't trade for Bruce Irvin. He is a one thing only, and that's third-down rush outside. He can't play the run.
He's like a his perfect tiny. Position's probably Otto.
He's not big enough.
You know, linebacker slash situational pass rusher.
Not big enough.
I don't think he's that good of a pass rusher either.
Good speed, that's it.
You know, but speed doesn't mean you're a great pass rusher.
Nope.
You know, and trading picks away, you know, I'm not a big fan of trading picks away for a guy that's a guy. And I'm not saying Bruce Irvin's just a guy. He's a little bit better than
that.
Well, he's better than a guy, but
how many sacks did he have last year?
It's not like how much did he play in the
I don't even remember playing.
I mean he didn't even play, I think, in their Super Bowl run. He barely played in the Super Bowl. They didn't need him. I mean they had Clemens,
everybody
Bennett.
Else. Yeah, sure.
You know, I mean I was the one guy that Michael Bennett. I remember when he was a free agent in Tampa. And watching him play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I wanted the Jaguars to get him at that time. I thought he was a tremendous player, had a lot of flexibility to rush inside and outside. Didn't happen. You know, it's the way it goes, though.
Bruce Irvin had 6.5 sacks last year.
Cliff Averill was a guy that I was a fan of. And plus, he's a hometown guy. You know, Clay County High School. It would have been great to maybe pick a guy up like that.
All I know is Chris name-dropped Alfie Crow, and I was done with him. Let's go to Kevin in Mandarin to talk offensive line.
Shot fired by JP.
Up, Kevin, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Great. What's up? Oh, all right. He's out. He's out of there. He wanted to talk offensive line, but I guess he didn't. How about the
– I intimidated him.
Yeah, you did. That's interesting. Hey, injury report presented by Baptist
it's
Health
a long
System.
One.
Changing healthcare for good. Relax, guys. It's going to take a little bit. Players ruled out. Marquise Lee with a hamstring injury. Greg Jenkins is out. Toby Gerhart with an abdominal strain. It is not a sports hernia. That's good news. Peyton Thompson with a hamstring injury. Demetrius McCray with a bruised knee is out. Jonathan Cyprian with a fractured finger. Leroy Reynolds with a knee injury. Fowler, of course. Josh Wells with a thumb injury. Thomas, of course. Neil Sterling is out this week. And, of course, Derek Marks. A couple of players that Gus called game-time decisions earlier this week, James Sample and Kari Fort. Sample could get his first action of the preseason. We'll see. But, as you guys said last week, game-time decisions in the preseason.
Go back to what we talked about last week when T.J. Yeldon was a, quote-unquote, game-time decision.
Yes.
Not very often that a game-time decision player is going to play in the preseason. And I think James Sample is a guy that might play, but I still don't think, you know, game time decision is not good because, I mean, he's a guy that's expected to make the roster. They feel good about him. Kari Fort's situation is a little different. Game time decision with a guy that I don't think in the first two games has given you a reason to believe that maybe he deserves to be on your roster. And so if he plays and gets hurt, then you have an obligation. And so players like that probably won't play.
Agree.
Yeah.
100%. If you don't think he's going to make the squad and there's he's questionable, why would you play him? Because you're on the hook if anything happens.
Now you got two options, you know, waived injured or IR. But, you know, if he's not a guy that you felt good about prior to an injury, why take that chance? You know?
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, it's and how do you figure that out? Well, in last week's game against the New York Giants, Kari Fort, prior to that, was a Mike. And then what did they do with the rotation? They took Jeremiah George, moved him to Mike, and they took Armbrister and took him and moved him to the other linebacker position. And that left Kari Fort out because Lotulelei was playing the weak side. With Armbrister playing the auto,
yep.
You know, so not a good showing, I guess you could say, or indicator for Kari Fort.
This past Saturday on the Public's Tailgate Show, we continued a segment called Shine On. Each of you guys argued your side of the ball and why it would shine against the Giants. Let's take a listen.
The Jaguars' defense is going to shine because the New York Giants' offense has been struggling so far in the preseason. Second-year offensive coordinator Ben McAdoo and Eli Manning having a hard time getting it all on the same page. Only 220 yards of offense in their first preseason
game. Not only will the Jaguars' offense dominate, they'll specifically dominate in the run game. It's because that offensive line is going to dominate an average defensive line led by a grandpa and Colin Jenkins. He's like 50. And John Beeson, I don't know if he can run anymore.
Bing, bing.
There you have it.
That's one
Logs
part
run.
Right.
Yeah, Logs run.
But you got one part right.
That Beeson can't run anymore?
He got hurt. Got a knee in the game. That's I mean, the guy can't catch a break. He's had foot injuries forever, and then he gets a knee in that game, and he's their best linebacker. Well, the best linebacker, though, was JT Thomas in that ball game.
No doubt. What a game he played, huh?
You know, I'm happy for JT. I mean, he, you know, when JT came out, there was a lot of character questions with JT. He goes to Chicago. Bob Babich is there. Kind of a journeyman type player. The Jaguars bring him here. He works his tail off. And then I remember the last year when he came into training camp, he was lighter, faster. It's like he had a tremendous offseason, especially the time that he spent away from the team between the mini camp and then the beginning of training camp. Had a tremendous period, and he made people take notice, and he carved himself a role out. Eventually became a starter, and then he was rewarded. 3 years, $12 million to go to the New York Giants. Good for him.
Was it a mistake to let him go?
Yeah, you could argue that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, they'd love to have him around here right now, I think. Sure. Right? I mean,
considering
what's
what?
Happened with the injuries and stuff right
no,
now.
I disagree. No, nothing's happened.
Regardless of any of that.
Yeah.
You know, good football players are good football players, and especially good football players that know your system and grew in your system. I think that's something that, you know, hindsight being 2020, you'd like to have him still here. You know, I mean, especially with you know, when you get outside of the starting three, Skuda, Posluszny, and Telvin Smith, who's your backup? And I'd feel good about Jeremiah George as a backup, Mike. I know he's young and he's unproven, but you feel good about it. Well, the next best linebacker right now on your roster is an undrafted rookie maybe from Miami. That's not good.
Which is, I go back to, having JT Thomas right now would not be all that bad.
All right. There you have it.
Forget injuries. Just can't have enough good players.
No.
Have them around.
And good players that know your system and grew, you know, in your system.
So, Jeff, you won this week. Is that
yes. The
consensus
I
here?
I would say that, yes.
So, Jeff Logman, you finally won.
We're even up
on Shine On. It's 1-1, and, of course, listen to the Public's Tailgate Show tomorrow night. A 5 o'clock start for the Public's Tailgate Show. 7 o'clock with Countdown to Kickoff right here on the Jaguars Radio Network, the flagship 1010XL. Kiss Game Day parking hassles goodbye with the JTA Stadium Shuttle. 5 convenient park and ride lots to choose from for Jags games. Tickets start at $7. And for more information, visit jtafla.com. We'll look around the National Football League after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Check out the all-new Jack Hanania's Infinity of Orange Park. It's brand new. It has all the amenities you can dream of. It's like the Taj Mahal of luxury dealerships with a huge selection of new Infinities. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Lagerman. Jaguars Thursday continues with our look around the National Football League. And we start off with Martavis Bryant, Steelers receiver, facing a potential 4-game suspension under the league's substance abuse policy. That was announced today. He is appealing, but could be a loss for the Steelers early in the season.
Yeah, and he's their deep threat. I mean, that's the guy that was going to compliment Antonio Brown.
Well, he can hang out with Le'Veon Bell.
Le'Veon Bell and him both missing for the first couple weeks. I mean, that's a huge loss for the Pittsburgh
Steelers.
Well,
now, he has an appeal. Let's let the process, due process.
Yeah, but that's – I mean, you know what? I think out of
– Have they said what drug it is?
I have not read that.
Is there, it recreational or PED?
No, it's not performance enhancers. You know, this is – This is drugs
substance
of abuse.
Substance abuse policy, yes.
So, and I don't think anybody.
So that means he's obviously already in the program.
He's in the program. So I don't think anybody that has had an appeal for that has won yet.
I have no idea.
Typically, appeals for substances of abuse don't go so well for the player.
So, well, you know, they lowered the threshold in the new this past year, didn't they? Or the last?
Yeah.
They lowered the THC. Yeah, the THC levels that you could have in your or higher made them higher, so it's easier to pass, whatever which way.
Yeah.
That was very scientific of you there, Tony.
Well, I read
terminology.
I read a lot. Yeah.
Reports that several Redskins offensive linemen dislike Robert Griffin III. This goes back to 2013 when reports came out that players were tired of his refusal to take blame when things went wrong. He got hammered last week.
Yeah, they blocked like it last week, like they hated him.
Did you watch film yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, buddy.
He dropped back 8 times and hit 6 times.
I would say.
Was it like?
6 hits. Half of them were on him to where he could have moved a little bit, had a little bit better pocket presence. But his eye, Tony, you watch him. The guy does not anticipate a throw. Never. He doesn't anticipate.
And to think they traded their entire draft to get him.
Basically. And the guy he draws too much attention on himself, way too much. He's quick to point out blame in other directions and point fingers. It's no surprise that his offensive line, you know, that the rumors are coming out that his offensive line doesn't like him. What's there to like?
I think at this point the Redskins' only hope is to trade him. He needs to get out of there, get a fresh start.
What are you going to get for him?
Well, I mean, anything. A case of Gatorade at this point, it's done there, Jeff. It's over.
It is.
It's over. I mean, that's it. It's done. I mean, the head coach doesn't like him. The players don't like him. He's not playing well. The only guy who likes him is the owner. And I've heard even the owner's cooled off.
Well, there's one other one.
Who's that?
RG3.
Okay, RG3.
He likes him some
RG3. Well, I mean, it's time to like, listen, let's give him a fresh start. Maybe it'll be better for him, but it's not going to happen there. I mean, I don't know how good he is.
He's got a great arm.
He was great when
athletic,
he could run around, man.
But, you know.
That one year when they ran that college Baylor offense. And
it was awesome.
He about got killed every week. It was fun to watch.
Hurt that knee in, the playoff.
I remember his rookie year when he was just getting hammered.
But he was – I did a game.
Hammered. We both said it. He's not going to last.
No, I did a game for Westwood One, Giants, Redskins, Monday night. And I was a sideline. And watching him from the sidelines, it was unreal. I mean, he would fly. And he could wing it and run it around. But he took some he took some hits. And I'm like, this ain't going to last.
No.
But it was fun while it lasted.
Remember the Jags last year? He got hurt against the Jaguars.
First series.
Yeah, turned an ankle.
And you're like, oh, no.
Turn an ankle. Dislocated an ankle.
Yeah, exactly.
And you were like, oh, no. Because you wanted him to stay in.
Yeah, Kirk Cousins let us up.
Cousins comes in, pitching it all around the park.
If I remember right.
It was a tough game.
Who was the safety that got benched after that game? Won the starting job coming out of training camp for the Jaguars.
And then we went to San Diego and he got cut after that game.
Winston Guy. He's with, Indy now?
He had the biggest eye violation. He had man coverage on a guy, and he's not even looking at him.
Well, then it happened.
Not even looking at this guy he's supposed to cover.
Jeff, the same thing happened on the wheel route the next week when we were playing San Diego and he got cut Monday.
Yeah, and then that was they put him in because they had to, and it was a dime situation.
Yeah.
To where he's like, okay, let's see, we need one more DB. Oh, Winston. All right, get in there. And it's his only job that week is dime personnel, one coverage that you probably play in dime coverage, and he blows it.
Mm. Oh, that was it.
See ya. Cowboys defensive back Orlando Scandrick tore 2 knee ligaments in practice this week. Delmas, the safety for the Dolphins, went down. Junior Gallette. Skins outside linebacker tore Achilles. Another busy week of injuries around the league.
Did you see about Junior Gallette split contract? He, you know, some players in the National Football League.
Well, wait a second. The reason he got it, let's just be clear, though. The reason he has a split contract because he hit a girl. The guy would still be, if he didn't knock out the girl, it was on video, or swinging that belt around, I mean, like a wild man hitting a woman, that wouldn't happen. He'd still be on the Saints making a bunch of money. So let's not feel sorry for split contract Junior Glett.
I wasn't making anybody feel sorry. I was just making the point. Is that typically...
Am I wrong, JP?
No, you're right. Thank you.
You know, good players that have good character in the National Football League sign contracts that, you know, what you're going to make, whether you get hurt or not, that's what you make. And the ones that don't have leverage, you know, street free agents that aren't highly sought after the draft, rookie free agents.
Hit a girl.
Or free agents that have been on the street and are just looking for a chance will sign what they call split contracts.
Use your belt as a weapon on a woman.
They make X amount of dollars if they're on the active roster in paragraph 5 money. If they end up on injured reserve, they make X divided by some number in paragraph 5 salary. So they make significantly less than he.
Can someone tell me about Junior Glett? I have a question, JP. Maybe you
can
answer this.
Okay, I can't wait for this.
How did the Redskins sign him? How were they able to sign him when the tape is out there that – and we saw the tape. Didn't we watch it that Monday night?
Yeah.
He swings
on a beach and he's
swinging the belt and hits some woman, right?
Right.
Like knocked her out.
Hit like a couple of people, I think. I don't know. Hey. When he's on the field, is he good though? Is he healthy?
Good pass rusher.
Double-digit sack guy.
Yeah, good pass rusher. Mean, so we're basically – yeah. Never mind. I'm going to stop. I'm going to say something.
Talk about the 49ers guy that's going to come
wait,
in now,
no,
too.
Wait a minute. This is the guy that for the last couple weeks is talking about signing Alden Smith.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Did he hit a woman?
No.
Okay. Different.
Could have killed one.
Okay, wait a second.
Getting drunk behind a wheel.
Okay. Two different things. You have a substance issue. You need to get help. Second, work with you. You hit a woman? No thanks. I mean, it's just that's a non-starter. I don't want you on my team. You want anyone who hits a woman on your team?
I don't want anybody that's going to kill people.
No, wait. I know. Okay. So you want nobody who struggles with substances on your team? To me.
How about that? Crickets.
Okay.
Well, I can't say that because you know what? I was rooting for Justin Blackmon.
So was I.
Yeah.
And if Alden Smith has a substance issue, I'm rooting for him to get over him, to beat it.
I was just getting your... Getting your,
I'm just. It's two different
heart rate up a little.
I
bit
don't
there.
Think you can compare the two. In my book, they're different. I mean, I'm pretty sure you're on the same page.
No, I'm on the same page.
Wow, that was resolved pretty quick between you two right there.
That's I'm just saying.
Yeah. Odell Beckham Jr.
I got an issue
and
with
the
this
Giants.
Too.
How about this story after the Jaguars go up to New York and Beckham gets shut out in what five targets, zero catches,
three alligator arms.
Victor Cruz comes out and says the Jaguars defensive backs were gunning for Odell Beckham. What that means,
first of all,
who knows?
I don't know what that means, first of all. Second of all,
if you know what that means.
Okay, first of all, if he wants to be mad at anybody, be mad at his quarterback for throwing it over the middle where he's going to get his head taken off.
Did you see the look he gave his quarterback on that one?
And secondly,
oof.
You know what? Go catch it. You could have caught the ball. Pay the price.
Business decision.
Receivers all the time, though, Jeff, in this league, go make that catch.
Yeah, Austin, that was kind of
and then they're not around the next week to make the next catch.
I'm just saying, but don't tell me. Don't you know, Victor Cruz, shut up. I don't need to hear you say that we're gunning for anyone.
He just needs to wake up.
Just shut up.
He's a heck of a football player. He's a great player, and he's going to get roll coverage his way.
And he's going to get knocked out if they throw the ball like that.
Welcome to the new Odell Beckham Jr.
Sergio Brown hit him one time on that second deep ball pass.
No, he ran by him, and Odell Beckham went and took a shot at him.
And that was the second time, though. There were two different plays
First of all, both times, the second one, Sergio could have lit him up, but he saw the alligator arms come out, so he laid off.
Somebody needed to give him a block of cheese for that wine.
Thank you.
Wow. Hey.
Very deep.
That was
philosophical.
Something. Original, actually. Do you like
that? That's not really that original. But it was good, though. Good timing.
Comedic timing.
I said a block.
That's your strong
not
suit.
Not a piece.
A block of cheese. A block. It's a lot of cheese.
Because there was a lot of wine.
Red or white?
Cheese.
Red.
Red.
With cheese. Always red.
Yeah, right? Red.
Right, cheese, yeah. Is that the rule?
Logs is always red no matter what.
Jags-Lions coming up tomorrow night. We'll have the Publix tailgate show at 5 o'clock right here. Countdown to kickoff at 7 o'clock. The kickoff at 8. For Jeff Loggeman, Tony Maselli, Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you in a couple weeks. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.